Everyone, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for this evening that thou hast given unto us this opportunity. We have gathered together in thy name. Thy word is before us, O Lord, and we rejoice for this moment. And we pray, Lord, before we open thy word of life, that thou would bless each one of us and give unto us a sincere desire to see thy will through the reading and the meditation of thy scriptures. The word which gives us life in that eternal, O Lord, may we hold it dear to our hearts. Open our hearts, O Lord. We rejoice in thee. We pray a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this evening's meditation, I desire to read from the book of Genesis, chapter 25, and I'd like to begin with verse number 19 to the end. Genesis 25, beginning with verse 19 to the end. Prva knjiga Mojsijeva, 25. glava, početak od 19. broj do kraja. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and he called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. May God bless our... This evening, with God's help, I'd like to just really lay out before us what was on my heart, and as I was led to this portion of Scripture about choices that we all will make, and the decisions, the choices that we do make have eternal implications. And as we know that the Holy Spirit of God, it tells us he searches the hearts. He searches our hearts. And there's nothing hidden from him. We know that. And so he takes us and he puts us in the balances as he did Belshazzar. And he's going to take and put us in the balances against our opportunities, against our advantages. See, we all have an advantage. Every one of us here have an advantage, and we have an opportunity. And he's going to put that in the balance when we are weighed. and to see, have we taken advantage of the opportunity that was given to us as we were taught about Jesus? What did we do with the knowledge of him? You know, there is not one of us here that will be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know you wrote a book. I didn't know you had a son. None of us will be able to say that. I never heard of a place called Calvary. The place where I am to die, where the power of sin is gone, and rather than sin having power over me, I am given a new power over sin. Where I die, I will receive life. I didn't hear about that. See, there's no one here that can say that. Most of us here probably were raised hearing about the love of Jesus from as early as we remember. And so you have an advantage, and you have an opportunity. And what have you done with that? And these two that were born to Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, they were born in the exact same household with the same opportunities and advantages. And one took one way and one took another. In the scripture, when he speaks of Esau, in the Old Testament here, the last words that we hear about Esau, let's just read them for a moment here. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying about Esau, the last time that he's mentioned in the Old Testament. It says, God is speaking to Israel. He says, I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? And he says, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Why would God hate Esau? We know that God is a God of love. But in order to love, you have to hate too. And God, when he loves, he has to hate. And what he hates is sin. And we can see the life if we read it. We just read the introduction to Esau and Jacob here. But if we read through the book of Genesis and we read the lives that they lived and the path that they chose, it tells us that Esau chose, he sought out Ishmael, his uncle, and sought descendants from him for a wife, those who had completely rejected God and lived pagan lives. That's who he sought. And he saw who Jacob sought out as his wife. He saw that. And he said, I'm going to go to Ishmael, his uncle, and find there a wife for him. And it tells us that the nation that came from him was the Edomites. And we see in the New Testament, rather than being from the lineage of Christ, as Jacob was from the lineage, or Christ was from the lineage of Jacob, we see who came from the lineage of the Edomites. It tells us right away early in the scripture in the New Testament that Herod was an Edomite. He's a descendant of Esau who sought to murder Jesus at birth. So we see that God hates evil. And he says this, what, 1,500 years later? He's saying that he hates Esau. He hates the path that Esau has chosen to go on, and the tribe and the nation that became from him versus Israel that came from Jacob, who he has loved. Because Jacob became a spiritual giant, and Esau forsook all things spiritual and pursued all things carnal. And he says, Esau, have I hated? Esau can't say, I didn't hear about you. You know, maybe even in this time, his father was perhaps even backsliding here and there. But we have to know that he was 15 years old when his grandfather Abraham was still alive. He had heard about God. This was the father of faith, his grandfather. He heard about the God who he is to serve and so on. He heard. You, my dear friend, have heard of Calvary. You have heard who God is. You have heard that God loves you, and you have heard that God hates sin. Now, are you going to choose that which God hates so that in the end, you would also, it would be also said of you, God hates me? You have to understand why and how that came about. It's because you were weighed in the balances. Your opportunity that you had, the advantage you had of being raised in a Christian home, of learning of the love of Jesus and what he has done for you, learning of Calvary and what that does to a man who's lost in sin and complete darkness. We heard testimonies of sick souls this past weekend. Of what the pursuit of sin does and how ugly it is. And that God is able, no matter how far anyone goes. We're all condemned. We're all condemned. And what is amazing is, you know, we might ask, why did God say, I hate Esau? The amazing part is it says that God loved Jacob. Why does he love us? Who are we that he should love us when we are sinners? We have rejected him, and he still loves us. That's what we should marvel at and ask ourselves, and not why was Esau hated. And so God, who loves his creation, as we know, he gave away through his son on Calvary. You know the story. Why? Why are you choosing as Esau chose? Esau has shown us that you are accountable for everything that you do. We know that it tells us here that Rebekah was told. Rebekah was told that the younger or the older one will serve the younger one. And so even we see her where she failed and she took into her own hands. That's what she should have just waited for God to do. She got Jacob to dress in hairy garments and so on to go present himself as Esau to his father who was half blind, couldn't see him to receive the blessing and so on. We can read that in the chapters to follow, but that story is very familiar to all of us, dear ones. But it tells us that as the boys grew, Esau was a cunning hunter, man of the field. Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau. Isaac failed. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. That was a carnal thing. Esau was a carnal man, and his father was attracted to the carnality. It says, Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field. He was faint. He was hungry. And we just sang in the hymn a verse about Stephen. Look what happens here. Esau says, behold, I am at the point to die. He feels, if I don't have anything to eat, I'm going to die. So what good is my birthright? My birthright as being the priest of the home, as being the one who would receive a double portion of of that which is distributed amongst the children. He says, what does that mean to be a priest when I'm going to die anyway? What good is that to me? I'll sell my birthright to you. He says, swear to me this day. And he swore to him and he sold his birthright to Jacob. Stephen didn't say, well, what good is the point of me testifying of God, of Jesus, who has changed my life, if I'm going to die, and now what good is it? I'm going to die. My life is over. To be a priest, to be a child of God, is an eternal matter. So we see that Esau counted it such a small, and this is what a carnal man does. He weighs a bowl of pottage against eternity and says, yeah, that looks good to me. That looks good to me. I'm going to eat. I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to live. And to a carnal man, everything looks better for that which is carnal, that which pleases the flesh, that which entices us, entices the flesh, pleases me for the moment, gives me a satisfaction, though it is brief, and though it will only take me to the next step, because the yearning is still there, because that which was satisfied is no longer satisfied. It yearns for more. And so the desire continues, and sin continues to grow in our hearts, and the separation and the understanding, and even it becomes abstract to us who Jesus is, what he did, and what he can do in my life. It's all abstract, meaningless. We start to take on acceptance of many different things. God's word, which is true, and amen. Not to be compromised in any way. Think about it, dear ones. If you compromise the word of God, you are saying your truth is not true. Your word is not true. If I think that if I can make the word different to accept me as I am, accept me as I am. The blood of Christ? Yeah, wash me. Blood of Christ, sanctify me? Nah. I'm carnal. I'm Esau. I sold my birthright. It's meaningless to me. It tells us in Hebrews that it says, looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator. This is speaking of spiritual fornication. Or profane person as Esau. The Spirit of God looked at Esau and proclaimed him profane. He was weighed in the balances and found to be profane. One who had no boundaries in his heart. No boundaries where Christ could dwell within. None. The Spirit of God proclaimed him as profane. He said, who for one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. My dear friend, what are you selling your birthright for? Esau said he sold it for a morsel of meat. What have you sold it for? What are you selling? What is it for sale for? We know that Judah sold his for 30 pieces of silver, which when he sold it looked so good to him, he thought he's going to have it made with these 30 pieces of silver. Life is going to be good. He's going to have something. He didn't spend one penny of it. 1 ounce of that silver was not spent. He threw it on the ground when he saw what it cost him. What is it today that you're holding on to, that you're willing to sell eternity for? Everyone has something. If I am compromising the word of God, I am selling my birthright for that, which I am compromising it for. If I am not making a step towards God because the allurements of sin are so great, I am saying this sin is worth going to hell and burning forever for. I cannot say to God, I didn't know about you. Please. This is what Esau is saying. It says he pleaded, but he couldn't find repentance. What was that repentance from? He was sorry he didn't get the double portion of goods. He wasn't regretful for the birthright. He wanted his father to change his mind and give him his blessing. But he couldn't. And dear ones, in that day, when you stand at the judgment of God, what are you going to say? I didn't know? No, you know. You do know. You do know. So why? Okay, now I see. Now you just want to escape hell. And you don't want to serve. You see, when we learn of God, that's why we have to read about him. We have to read about our Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. Because when we understand who he is, dear ones, it will bring about within us a burning within our hearts to have communion with him. To be like him. To walk in his footsteps that led him to Calvary. And so now suddenly the fear of hell becomes the fear of sin, because how could I sin, as Joseph said, against my God? We fear sin because we love God and we don't want to hurt our Lord. And so when it doesn't matter now. It's not a matter of hell's fire. It's a matter of I love my Lord. I want to serve him. And so Esau wants the advantage. He wants to take that which is supposed to be his only because he can benefit from it. And is that why we want to escape hell? Just because I don't want to be hurt by hell? But the thought of serving our Lord is far from me? And so are we going to go through the ordinances of baptism without true repentance? God forbid. Because what we're doing is we're compromising the word of God. So the word of God tells us who the Lord is, and what he has done for us, and what he has given us. And so we are to follow him to enjoy the blessings of a life in Christ. It's a transformed life, as we've seen six souls who've been born again, put off an old man, and put on new. All things become new. We just read that recently. All things have become new in Christ. Isn't that powerful and beautiful? Isn't that something to be desired? Why do we not desire to become new? Are you completely happy with yourself? Are you happy with the ugliness of sin you can never get enough of? What are you happy with? You're not happy with that? Well, there's an answer. It's Calvary. It's Christ. He can put a new heart in you. The six souls testified that they have victory through Christ. Not on their own. They all tried it on their own. No one can do it on his own. It's Christ who gives us victory. Victory over self. Because Esau only thought about himself. I want to eat. What good is anything to me if I'm going to die? And dear ones, we have to know that what good is this life to me without Christ? If we don't see that, we will be declared as profane. We will be declared as one who God hates. Because the world today is on full display. everything is on display. You think that looks good? Is that attractive? The ugliness, the lies, the deceit. Who's the father of lies? The only way, I was just talking to a brother on Sunday, and the only way Satan is keeping you is because deceiving you. He's lying to you, and you're saying, okay, I believe you. You're saying, I believe you. Because if he told you, first of all, he can't tell you the truth because he's a liar. But the only truth that he could tell you would be to look to Christ, which he wants you to look away from. And so the world is on, Satan is on full display in the world. And is that who we're going to choose? My dear friends, it says Esau despised his birthright. Don't despise this advantage. Don't despise this opportunity. Thank God that you were given parents who taught you who Jesus is, that you were brought to a church where you could hear who Jesus is. Thank God for that. And turn away. Turn away from self and turn to the Lord. And you'll find him gracious, plenteous in mercy, willing to forgive, to pull you into his bosom, and to show you a new life. Dear ones, Esau showed us that what you sow is what you will reap. You can't sow to the flesh and not reap corruption. You can't do that. He showed us that. He shows us many things of what we might think. He shows us, as a matter of fact, the fact that he grew up as a descendant of Abraham. That the advantage that he had, if he doesn't take advantage of it, it does him no good. So if you think that you're coming to church that you can undo some of the ugliness that you do by coming to church somehow, he showed us you can't. Don't sell your birthright for a morsel of pottage, of bread, of sin. Don't sell it. But rather call upon the Lord, and he will take you in. Pour your heart out to him. The most beautiful, well, I just say that, but where James says, submit yourself unto God. Submit. He is all powerful. Why do you want to fight against God? He says, submit to him. Resist the devil, and he will flee. That's a promise. It's a promise from God. The Holy Spirit is searching your heart. He's searching it. And he's going to declare you righteous or profane. May God bless his word in this evening in our hearts. Amen.